Hi, welcome to this week's episode of the Desperately Seeking Self podcast. I'm your host, Brooke Collins, and I am so glad that you are here. If you haven't already, please head into the notes and click the Linktree link down there and go download your 10 free tips for alcohol-free living. It's a guidebook that I've put together for everyone who's looking for an alcohol-free life. And they're just helpful little easy implementable tips that I think help everybody when they want to stop drinking alcohol and create a better life for themselves, whatever the reason may be. Also, you can sign up to the link for the wait list for my sober course. It's pretty full, the wait list. I'm only going to leave it up for this episode and maybe next Monday's episode. And then it will be taken down because I'll be getting ready to open enrollment. So if that's something that you're interested in, please click the link tree down below and sign up for the sober course wait list. You will not be sorry. It's guaranteed to be an incredible experience for everyone who signs up. With that being said, today I'm pivoting. Last week I talked about recovery programs and all of the options that I know of. Well, some of the options that I know of, the most popular probably for ways to recover. And I felt compelled to talk about gray area drinking today. It's just been tugging at my heartstrings. So I keep getting the nudge to talk about it, and I haven't really done anything about it. So I've decided today's the perfect day to discuss it with you all. So what is gray area drinking? Well, gray area drinking is the space between the extremes of like a rock bottom and every now and again drinking. So it's a gray area that many women in particular find an impossible space to occupy because you haven't had anything bad happen as a result of your drinking. You probably haven't gotten a DUI. Maybe you've not lost a job. You haven't gotten into any physical altercations because of your drinking, but it doesn't mean it's not a problem for you. So gray area drinking is becoming so prevalent in so many women that I talk to. You would be shocked, all of you listening, to the amount of women I talk to who just don't feel good because of drinking, and they want to not be drinking as much, or they want to not be drinking at all anymore. I will tell you, there seems to be an age umbrella of where it's really becoming prevalent for people that I'm talking to, and that seems to fall under like the 35 to 50 kind of window, where it's you've got kids and you're socially drinking with other moms, but you don't want to be, and you're not an alcoholic. You definitely haven't hit a rock bottom. But also, just because you haven't hit rock bottom doesn't mean, right, that you can't stop drinking. I think people have really misconstrued this idea that you need to be a full-blown alcoholic to quit drinking, and that's just not true. You know, you don't need to crash your life into a million pieces to prove to yourself that it's time to quit drinking, right? Like, if it's affecting your life, now's the time to quit drinking. If you struggle with quitting drinking, then that's where help of people like me or books or programs or other spiritual programs and practices come into place, because it is hard. I tell you, when you drink like most women around you, glass of wine, which easily turns into multiple glasses while socializing or while sitting on the couch Friday night watching Netflix, you know, it's so common that it's hard to recognize that it's a problem. But I'll tell you that if you feel like it's a problem, it's a problem. And what are some ways that we can look at, well, is gray area drinking an issue for me? Well, yeah, it's pretty simple. You worry and regret and stress about your drinking. That's one thing. First thing, signs you might be a gray area drinker. You worry, regret, and stress about your drinking. You wake up in the morning feeling remorseful about the night before, but you get up and function perfectly fine during the day. You know, you get your workout in, you're eating your balanced diet, you exhibit other healthier choices and you function fairly well. However, there are also days and weekends, wasted mornings, feeling hungover, angry at the little things. And other people don't often know about these days because they don't see your sleepless nights, right? Or they don't understand why you're so moody or why you're so affected, or irritated, agitated, anxious, you know, all of those things that come with anxiety and hangovers. And particularly for women, especially as we age, I'm really on my own journey. I'm really knee deep in this perimenopausal phase. You know, I'm 41, I'm young, and I've really, really been struggling. And honestly, I've never been more grateful that I stopped drinking a decade ago, because the stuff that alcohol does to women and their hormones in their late 30s to mid 40s is it wreaks havoc on our bodies. And we do it as a way to relax, use it as a way to relax, as a treat for getting through the stressful week with the kids. But quite frankly, it's what's causing 90% of your anxiety and your stress is from the alcohol itself, because your hormones are changing so rapidly, that you can't keep up, and you're not putting the piece of the puzzle together that it's maybe not the diet, maybe it's not the husband, maybe it's not the kids, maybe it's the alcohol. Got to take a drink. Hold on. So that is the first, I think, sign that you might have a problem with gray area drinking. So again, you worry silently and regret and stress about your drinking. Second thing I think to bring up is that you drink between the extremes, right? You don't drink enough that your life has hit rock bottom. You're not waking up and having the shakes and withdrawing, but you're also not only having a couple glasses of wine at a wedding every 6 months or every 8 months. You are not like a few and far between, and you're not a full-blown alcoholic. So you fall into this space of what? Gray area drinking. So I think it's important to recognize that there is a place where you can definitely fall and stress about, even if you're not at a full-blown rock bottom. In fact, my purpose on the planet, I feel called or feel compelled to help with, is to help women not hit a rock bottom and quit drinking before that even happens. So it's a lot of gray area drinkers, right? Maybe you are, you know, maybe you are struggling with the concept of, am I an alcoholic? Am I not an alcoholic? You know, but I think that, you know, that question can be a deep journey to get to the answer and to the end result. Whereas when you look at gray area drinking and you think, okay, you know what? I'm stressing about drinking. I'm anxious. I feel bad when I drink. I'm moody. I'm fighting with my husband. I'm yelling at my kids. Like, I don't like the way that I feel when I drink, and I'm not going to do it anymore, is a reason to quit drinking. Mommy wine culture has us like stuck in this rabbit hole of, we have to have wine to relax and have wine to connect with our girlfriends. And that's just simply, it's not true. And that's a whole nother episode in itself. So not going to get into that too deeply, but know and recognize that that is not true. So the third sign, I think, would be you are able to stop drinking, and you have done it for periods of time. Maybe you do a dry January. Maybe you do 2 weeks on a cleanse. Maybe you do, you know, periods of time each year that you actually are able to quit drinking. And the problem is, it's hard to stay stopped. So you're really get focused on your nutrition, and something comes up, an event, a party, a gathering, and it's hard to keep turning a drink down. And so you jump back on the drinking Ferris wheel and think that it's going to be different this time. And you quickly regret how much you drank instantly that morning, that night. You get home and you're mad how much you drank. All signs of gray area drinking, right? So the fourth sign is you're drinking for sure, most likely, not all of you that I'm speaking to, but a good majority. Your drinking doesn't look problematic to other people around you. You're drinking most likely like the people in your social circles or in your business. And, you know, you look at like book clubs, girls' night outs, work events, and you know, you know, a lot of people who actually drink more than you do. So if you talk about it to some of your girlfriends, they might actually say, you know, you don't drink too much. You don't have a problem. You don't have anything. Why are you freaking out about this right now? You're having an anxiety episode. You don't have a drinking problem. You know, look at you drink like everyone else. You're fine. You're normal. You're not that bad. All of those things. So those are all thoughts that or situations that happen with the gray area drinking. So that's our fourth sign. The fifth sign is you're really struggling ping-ponging between the voice inside of you that's telling you to stop drinking and knowing that you are at a crossroads and that you need to choose, and deciding you're overthinking and it's time to live a little and enjoy yourself and reward yourself for the bad week that you've had, or just allow yourself to relax and connect with others. Maybe it's you drink to unwind and you're able to have sex better with your husband. I don't know, but just there, that happens for a lot of people. And you're in this ping-ponging place in your head where it's just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and you can't ever get out of it. You're just 100% stuck. That is the fifth sign for sure that you have had an issue with gray area drinking. So let's go over those again, right? Because I just want to do five. I don't want this episode to be, you know, an hour long, but you know, you worry, stress, and regret your drinking. Okay. That's number one. You drink between rock bottom and, you know, every so often drinker who has a couple glasses of wine at a wedding. You can stop drinking and you have stopped drinking before, but you always return to it thinking that you're overthinking it and it gets too hard to say no all the time. Your number four, your drinking doesn't look like a problem to the people that are around you most often. And number five, you ping pong between ignoring the voice in your head that says you need to stop drinking and the voice that says you deserve to relax and you deserve a break and you're going to have a glass of wine. Another thing I will say is that if one glass of wine always turns into more glasses of wine, and you know, I think the old alcoholic rule of you can't have one drink is really skewed in today's world. Mainly because most people, the volume of glass of wine that they're drinking is two glasses off the bat. It's not one. So I think that is a really hard kind of way to look at if you're worried about your alcohol consumption, because most people don't drink in a healthy way anymore in today's world. Look at the giant glasses, rosé all day, you know, these... I don't know. I'm just trying to think, you know, wine play dates and whatever else. And the glasses are the size of your head, these wine glasses today. So I think that question is sort of out of context when you're looking at whether or not you have a drinking problem. Not a drinking problem necessarily, but whether or not you're a gray area drinker. Okay. It's time for you to really look at finding support for this issue, because I can tell you there's probably no more of an isolating place than being a gray area drinker, being caught in the midst of it and feeling like maybe something's wrong with me. Why am I questioning it so much and wanting to quit drinking, and being in a social circle of people who drink very heavily and telling you that you don't have a problem. And it starts to feel like, well, crap, maybe I don't have an issue, or maybe I'm just confused, or you know, maybe my anxiety is coming from something else. So whether or not you're a gray area drinker is something that only you can decide. And you alone has to evaluate. And I think that instead of looking at whether or not you're an alcoholic, it's important to look at whether or not your relationship with alcohol makes you feel good or it makes you feel like shit. If you feel like shit when you drink, and I'm not even talking the physical symptoms. If you emotionally and mentally feel like crap because you're drinking and you don't want to be drinking, it's now is the time to ask yourself, why then am I continuing to drink and feel like shit? Now, today, in this moment, is the time to go ahead and take a look at why you're drinking the way that you're drinking and what is it that you're avoiding feeling? What is it that you're struggling with? Maybe it's a big decision or something that you don't want to deal with, or what is it that you're utilizing alcohol in the way that you are? Why are you utilizing it the way that you are? Right. It's an impossible place to be. And I feel bad for anybody who is stuck on this spiral, shame spiral, because it doesn't have to be that way. And this, I actually would probably refer to it as an epidemic, this gray area drinking, and it's real. And a lot of people walking the earth identify with the gray area drinking. So when you're ready to end the pattern and open up to a new pattern that's more in line with the life you want to be living, then that's when you are at the jumping point, which I talked about a couple episodes back. And it's, you can stay there for a while and maybe you're going to bounce back and forth between the gray area drinking and not drinking for another year, couple years, whatever. The point is, when you are asking yourself these questions, when you want to not drink anymore and you're struggling to not drink anymore because it's a social situation for you or it's your only stress release, now is the time to look at, how do I change that? How do I implement new habits into my life? What's my support system to be able to help me change that? Who can I reach out to help me step into this better version of myself and better version of my life that I want to be living? Who will be there for me? Because I can tell you, you learn really quickly. And this is from my personal experience. You learn really quickly who your real friends are when you're not partying all the time. Like, you learn real fast. And I don't think I've worked with a woman in my recovery programs or in my coaching, who, when they quit drinking, the friends that they thought that they would be there supporting them and uplifting them were ghosts, gone. And the people that they weren't really looking at were the ones who were their true friends supporting them. So it's a good way to weed out people who don't belong in your life and who are dragging you down with toxic energy anyways. So that's all I got, you guys. I don't want to take up too much time. And I really am loving these on-the-fly episodes. It feels more organic to me. It feels more true to who I am as a person because I struggle with a little ADHD and I am always putting things off to the last minute. And I really like to be spontaneous with a lot of things. So being able to jump on a live, either solo or with a planned Zoom group of women, is super exciting for me, because it's aligned with who I am and it's the type of vibration I live at. So anyways, I'm glad to be here. If you missed fast forwarded through the beginning of the episode, just know that to click the link and download my 10 tips for living an alcohol-free life and sign up for the waitlist for the Sober Course Recovery Program. Promise you won't be sorry. I'm next week. So it's going to be interesting because I'm taking my mic with me, my travel mic, with my iPhone. We are traveling as a family next week. We're taking a vacation. So we will be in Park City, Utah, and then Vegas for my sister-in-law's wedding. And I'm actually, my husband and I think are going to do 2 episodes together. If I haven't told you about my fabulous husband, he is a CAADC, which means he's a certified addictions counselor, licensed counselor. He's like a therapist, social worker, has a master's and many initials after his name. But that's not why I think he's fabulous. I think he's fabulous because he has been sober since 1997. And got sober at 17. And when I met him, I was newer to my sobriety journey, and he has made my life a much better place to be. And he brightens my day and makes me laugh all the time. And I think that he will make you guys laugh. And I always enjoy listening to his viewpoints on sobriety and addiction and even gray area drinking. But we're probably going to be coming at you more on the next 2 episodes about traveling without alcohol. And we're definitely doing 1 episode of Vegas sober. So stay tuned for that. I'm going to be honest with the audience on a whole scale. I have not been back to Vegas since I quit drinking. So it is a little bit of a, I'm not worried about drinking, but I'm like worried about how overloaded I'm going to get by the amount of people drinking around me. So stay tuned to part 2, and we will be coming at you from our vacation. And I hope that all of you have a great week this week. And also in the link, if you need to reach out to me or have any questions, go ahead and head over to my Instagram, send me a DM, shoot me an email. All that information is there in the link in the notes. Hope you guys have a good week. And wherever you are in the world, I hope that you're taking a little time to treat yourself to whatever it is that will make you feel more at peace. Have a good week, guys.